choosing the Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off once again with African football. It's the 11th day of action at the African Nations Championship, or CHAN, in Cameroon. Our VOA football fans will remember CHAN is for African players who ply their trade in their domestic leagues. When Wednesday's matches are done and dusted, we'll know the 8 teams that qualified for the CHAN quarterfinals. Joining us now with an extra spicy CHAN report is Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. The final group matches of the Total African Nations Championship CHAN 2020 will be concluded on Wednesday. The quarterfinal slots are up for grabs as final group matches continues. Were players of the DRC team celebrating in their team bus shortly after they won their final Group B game against Niger Republic 2-1 in Yaoundé on Monday. A 90-minute howler by MENA goalkeeper Abdulrazak Halidou allowed the Leopards to win the match and end their opponent's hopes of advancing. The victory for DR Congo means they finish top of the group with 7 points. Congo take the second position with 4 points, while Libya and Niger are tied at the bottom of the group with 2 points apiece. In the other Group B match, Congo defeated Libya 1-0 to qualify for the quarterfinal stage. The explosive encounter played at the Japoma Stadium in Douala saw the two teams come all out in search of early goals, but the first half ended goalless. In the quarterfinal pairings, DR Congo will play host to Cameroon at the Japoma Stadium in Douala on Saturday, while Mali will stay in Yaoundé to take on Congo at the Amadou Ahidjo Stadium also on Saturday. In today's matches, Rwanda will take on Togo in one of the final two ties of Group C, knowing that only a win will earn them a quarterfinal berth. Amavubi of Rwanda, who have neither scored or conceded a goal yet, head into Tuesday's clash with 2 points from earlier draws against Uganda Cranes and champions Morocco. Coach Vincent Mashami of Rwanda says the stakes are high in their fixture against the Togolese.
It's capital, it's the South Sea, it's crucial, it's, last man stand, so whatever word you may give it, we know how big it is, we know the importance of winning this game and where it will take us. Yes, it will be an easy game. We are playing against a side that is now more motivated, first time appearance in this competition. Yeah, lost one game, won another game. I think they are more confident, they are more motivated because they want to, to cross the line, they want to get to where everyone didn't expect them to get. So, we are ready. I would not tell you we are ready in this way or another, but we need to be ready in all aspects. We have put all together the ingredients to get it out. So, we take this game. I'm very confident. We need to put pressure on our opponents. Yes, we need to give our best. It's a day about game.
Morocco topped the group with 4 points. Togo are second with 3. Rwanda third with 2, while neighbors Uganda are bottom with 1 point. With each of the 4 teams still with a chance to qualify for the next round, only 2 sides will go through. In Group D, Zambia is looking good to book a spot in the quarterfinal stages. For the Chipolopolo of Zambia goalkeeper Alan Chibwe, he has been recounting his experience so far at the 2020 African Nations Championship in Cameroon. In the 1-1 draw with the National Elephants, the custodian got a knock, but he did not want to come off. He has since explained why he was willing to continue despite playing with pain.
God has granted me this opportunity to maximize my potential to the fullest and that bad. After the end of the first half, the doctor told me about how severe the injury was, and for me, I just have to fight for my nation and fight for my position. And you know, at this stage, I've worked so hard to have this position and to have this opportunity to convince the coach that I can do better than what I'm doing now. And a small knock cannot take me away from the game.
Ahead of their last group game against Namibia on Wednesday, Alan Chibwe is hopeful that the Chipolo Polo will be victorious.
Yeah, I think we have the good coach. Plan how to come out with the 3 points against Namibia. We'll go back to training and work hard against them and plan them and plan against Namibia. We are expecting a tough match, like what happened in the last Chan. We drew against them, the last final of the Chan tournament, and we are looking forward, I think, this time to win against them so that we can top the group. We meet the second team from the other group.
Namibia were eliminated from the championship on Saturday when losing 1-0 to Tanzania. Namibia coach Richard Bobby Samaria says the coronavirus outbreak in the team's camp ahead of the Total African Nations Championship contributed to the team's early exit from the tournament in Cameroon.
Football has three components. One is winning, one is to draw, the other one is losing. We have played, and unfortunately we made individual errors, but we are not going to apportion blame to the players, to the individual players, because it's a team sport. You cannot lose by yourself, nor can you win by yourself. You need a team to achieve your objectives.
Staying with the African Nations Championship holding in Cameroon, sports analyst DG Ogembo says despite the absence of top teams like Nigeria, Algeria, Ghana and Egypt, it has not taken the shine off the competition.
The Championship of African Nations is the first international competition to be hosted across the world since the COVID-19 struck last year, and CAF has used it as an opportunity to give home-based players playing their trades in various leagues the opportunity to showcase themselves to the world. Officially, they say it's the most coveted competitions for African players. But with regards to the fact that Nigeria, South Africa, Algeria, Ghana are in there, it still doesn't take loss out of the competition. We've still got decent participants there. Rwanda, there, Libya, Cameroon, Morocco, who have a decent record when it comes to the competition itself too. It's baby steps, actually, with regards to fans allowed in the stadium now. 25% at first, then they get into 50% capacity of the stadium too. Africa hasn't been ravaged with the COVID-19, so it's rather makes sense if you do things gradually, which is what they've done in the CAF Champions League and in Confederations Cup, and it's made things easier, and there haven't been any force about it too. So why not just employ it in the Championship of African Nations?
It's day 11 at the Total African Cup of Nations, and there are already stars catching the attention of scouts as players in this tournament who play for their domestic league battle to impress and future their career outside of Africa. Oluwaseun Oyedeji is the co-publisher of 442.com Nigeria and Cameroon, an online sports newspaper, and he's one of the sports journalists covering the game in Limbe, Cameroon. Earlier today, I spoke to him to find out what his thoughts are on the quality of play and organization of the tournament. I began by asking him to rate the quality of football on display so far.
We are having a typical African style of play. All the physical aspects, we can see it among the teams. Apart from Guinea, because I can only speak from what I've seen. Guinea is the only side that play the possessive style. I know the coach, that is Coach Kanfori Bangura, has brought this possessive style of play to his team. Then the Zambian has, style of play, we know Coach Michu is not an attacking side. Is a coach that try to defend and catch the team on the counter. So in terms of the style of play, it has been a normal style of play, normal African style of play.
Now, Oluwaseun, tell me, how will you sum up the organization of the tournament so far?
Chan 2020 is the first tournament that will be organized by CAF during this after the COVID-19 or during this COVID-19 era, and a lot of things have been put in place for this tournament, most especially the security aspects. Every match match day, we do have a lot of security men to ensure there is security around the, in and around the stadium, because Limbe, there were crises before the commencement of the tournament. There was a local crisis here, so security has been was in high intensity here. The tournament is going on well. From let's go, we've been having more goal now, and we hope that as the tournament proceeds, we have more goals.
So far, Mali, Cameroon, Congo DR, Congo have all booked their places in quarterfinals, while Zimbabwe, Namibia, Burkina Faso, Niger, and Libya have all crashed out of the tournament.
Thanks for that excellent report, Samson. That's Samson O'Male reporting on the Chan tournament in Cameroon.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
It's been almost 30 years since Ghana won a medal at the Olympics. Ghana's under 23 national men's football team, nicknamed the Black Meteors, won a bronze medal at the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. While this year's Tokyo Olympics remain in doubt because of the COVID-19 pandemic, Ghana is hoping to qualify more athletes for the games in Japan. So says a Ghana Olympic Committee spokesman. Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori reports from Accra, Ghana.
The communication director of Ghana Olympic Committee, Sammy Haywood Okan, says their main agenda is to intensify their preparations for the games.
In May, June, they'll go to Paris for the world qualifiers in boxing. There are at least two. Some of them are, there'll be some opens or meetings where they'll qualify. And through their qualifiers, recently the Athletic Secretary said he hopes that about five athletes will join those who are qualified.
The Ghana Olympic Committee communicator says four athletes and one Paralympic athlete have already qualified for the Tokyo Games. Two boxers, Suleiman Tete and Samuel Tachi. Two track and field, Joseph Amoa, 200 meters, and Nadia Eke, triple jumper. The Paralympic athlete is Rafael Busio Nkegbe. Sammy Haywood says he is optimistic more athletes can qualify to increase Ghana's contingent, but he explained why Ghana Olympic football team is unable to qualify to the Olympics since their participation in Athens 2004 games.
You know, football, now other countries are catching up. If other countries are overtaking us, we just sit down and say we can beat them. We just sit down and say we can beat them. But that's not the case. What they are doing right, we should look at it and also copy them, also overtake them again. Ghana was the best country in Africa concerning football, but things have changed. Even look at the Chan, that's they are playing in Cameroon. There's no Ghana. So Ghana football, but our local league is rising. So I'm sure that as our local league is rising, by 2 years' time, we'll come back to international and we'll take our position back.
That was Sam Haywood Okan, Communication Director of Ghana Olympics Committee. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Hello, Jonathan Mensah here, Black Stars defender and Columbus Crew captain. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Like Ghana, Nigeria's last Olympic medal came in men's football. The Nigerian team won a bronze medal at the 2016 Olympics in Brazil. Falilat Ogunkoya won two medals on the track for Nigeria at the 1996 Atlanta Olympics, a silver in the women's 4x400-meter team relay, and a bronze in the women's 400-meter race. Iron Mike Mbonye asked Ogunkoya, what advice do you have for Nigerian athletes who hope to get on the Olympic medals podium?
My advice to Nigerian athletes is to keep training. Training is very, very important. We are in the Olympics. We want to win medal. They need to train very, very, very hard. With the training, that will help the athlete to excel at the Olympics. Because without the training, there's no way you can win a medal. So I know it's not easy. Whatever that is going on around us, we just have to manage it. But the athletes have to continue to be working very, very hard. And my advice to Nigeria government is to support the athletes. They should continue to support the athletes. Because without the government, there's no athlete. Without the athlete, there's no government. No athlete will go to the Olympics without the government. So they need to really support them. I know it's not the way the world have been, what they have been going on, it's not been easy, but we just have to hang in, train very hard, support the athletes. Athletes can train very hard. All the money, they should make sure that they use it wisely, because Olympics is going to come, and if you don't train very hard, you are not going to win any medal at Olympics. But with a hard training, with sports science, very, very important, because whatever we are doing now is sports science, and we need to cue into that and make sure that we do the sports science. So at the end of the day, winning medal in the Olympics, that is the goal that we have been waiting for so many years now. And I hope that this Olympics will bring medal, and athletes will train very, very hard for them to win that medal. I say good luck to all of them. It's not going to be easy, but if you work very hard at whatever you are doing, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel.
Are you satisfied with the level of preparations by the Nigerian government for the Tokyo Olympic Games?
When you say satisfied with the level of the preparation of the games, as long as athletes is training very hard, do what they're supposed to do and train very, very hard, I'll be very, very happy. Because we know that COVID-19 is going on, but all over the world, we see other athletes training, other athletes breaking records. I want Nigeria to break record. I want Nigeria to win medal in Olympics. I want them to train very hard. Whatever that is going on, don't let use this as an excuse for us not to train. It's something that is very, very tough. They need to train very hard. So at the end of the day, there'll be a good result at the end. Because the only thing that unites all of us is sport, and we just have to continue to tell the athletes to work very hard. And with that, they will win medal. And without the training, it's not going to be possible. And I hope that athletes are doing that. As long as we are doing that, you know, the level of our preparation is very high. They have done one camp, and I hope that this year, 2021, there's going to be, you know, more training, and athletes will be able to represent Nigeria very well and represent themselves very well. And it's not going to be easy, but with the way the athlete train, that is the answer to win medal in the Olympics, and that is what Nigeria have been hoping to do. Preparation is fine. The athletes need to train very hard. If you don't train very hard, it's going to be a problem. I wish them good luck, and I hope that whatever that is going on around you, don't let them affect you. Please train very, very hard. It's very, very important. And that will usually help you to bring medal around your neck.
What advice do you have for athletes who have qualified for the Olympic Games?
Some athletes have already qualified for the Olympics. And those ones that qualify, some of them are not even go, and other people will still come and qualify. I just pray that those ones that have already qualified, they should be trained very, very hard, because they're still going to be trial for at least for selection of the Olympics, you know, for them to go. There's going to be a trial. And with the trial that is coming, I hope that we're going to see more athletes that is going to run very fast. Run very fast is very, very important. You have to run very, very fast, because to win medal in Olympics, the like those 8 people, they are going to be the best in the world. And I hope to see a lot of Nigeria in the finals, not only in athletics, on the other sport. I just pray that they will stay healthy. They will not let everything that is going on around them affect them. They will keep their head high, and they will make sure that they made themselves and their own Nigerian proud as well. It's not going to be easy, but I know that the ones that qualify, they are going to work very hard. Not somebody to come and beat them and take the spot. But if you don't train very hard, somebody will surely come and take the spot. I'm talking about the Nigeria now. And going outside Nigeria, it's not going to be easy. And I pray that God will just be with them. God will give them strength. God will just do what they need to do, because without the hard training, there's no way in the Olympics. But they have already qualified, and I hope that they will keep on fighting and training very, very hard. So at the end of the day, we're all going to laugh at the Olympics.
That's Falilat Ogunkoya, an Olympic silver and bronze medalist. And she spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abeokuta, Nigeria.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falilat Ogunkoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist, African record holder, ranked the best quarterfinaler in the world, 1998. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contracting COVID-19. Thanks.
a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Today, Tuesday, marks the one-year anniversary of the death of Los Angeles Lakers basketball great Kobe Bryant. On January 26, 2020, the 41-year-old Bryant, along with his 13-year-old daughter Gianna and seven others, were killed in a helicopter crash near Los Angeles, California. VOA's Gwen Uten filed this report after the tragic incident.
Kobe Bryant won five NBA championships with the LA Lakers and was not only considered one of the greatest to ever play the game of basketball, he was beloved in the city of Los Angeles. As news of Bryant's death made headlines around the world, bereaved fans in Los Angeles spoke to Reuters News about Kobe's legacy, his impact on the city, and his hometown in Pennsylvania.
It is a sad day. This is a city that, for which, you know, Kobe meant a lot. And so it's one of the largest citizens, one of the most important citizens of this town. And so I think it's going to have a significant impact on the city. I think the city has lost a lot today.
He meant everything, especially like in the sports in general. Like, you know, he was really good at what he did, and he was a very good person in general. He did a lot of charity, like, you know, so it's a very big loss in general.
If someone from PA like Kobe Bryant was, you know, it really hits home. It's sad to see one of a real basketball legend pass like that, but we're definitely going to remember his memory and keep his legacy alive.
Global leaders, athletes, and artists also expressed their grief and disbelief at the news of Kobe's death. Then U.S. President Donald Trump issued this tweet. Reports are that basketball great Kobe Bryant has been killed in a helicopter crash in California. That is terrible news. Former U.S. President Barack Obama reacted to the news on his Twitter page, writing, Kobe was a legend on the court and just getting started in what would have been just as meaningful a second act. To lose Gianna is even more heartbreaking to us as parents. Michelle and I send love and prayers to Vanessa and the entire Bryant family on an unthinkable day. Former L.A. Laker Shaquille O'Neal played alongside Kobe for 8 years. The duo led their team to three consecutive NBA championships. And on his Twitter page, Shaq writes, there's no words to express the pain I'm going through with this tragedy of losing my niece Gigi and my brother Kobe Bryant. I love you and you will be missed. My condolences goes out to the Bryant family and the families of the other passengers on board. I'm sick right now. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver issued this statement following the passing of Kobe Bryant. The NBA family is devastated by the tragic passing of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna. For 20 seasons, Kobe showed us what is possible when remarkable talent blends with an absolute devotion to winning. He was one of the most extraordinary players in the history of our game with accomplishments that are legendary. Five NBA championships, an NBA MVP award, 18 NBA All-Star selections, and two Olympic gold medals. But he will be remembered most for inspiring people around the world to pick up a basketball and compete to the very best of their ability. He was generous with the wisdom he acquired and saw it as his mission to share it with future generations of players, taking special delight in passing down his love of the game to Gianna. We send our heartfelt condolences to his wife, Vanessa, and their family, the Lakers organization, and the entire sports world. Kobe Bryant's influence also extended outside basketball. Among other sports, he was an avid fan of the Los Angeles Dodgers baseball team and regularly attended games. Just 2 weeks before his sudden death, Bryant explained the power of resilience as the Dodgers set out to win their first World Series in 32 years.
As a competitive person, you know, the thing that I do is look forward. You can't change things that were, you can't change the outcome. What you can do is control what you can control, which is your performance, which is how well you hit the ball, which is how well you pitch the ball, which is how well you defend. I think it's important for him to focus on that, try to bring a World Series back to Los Angeles. You got to move ahead. You got to look ahead. You got to focus on the upcoming season and focus on trying to get a championship back here. Because if you don't, it's just going to divert energy away from trying to accomplish that goal. And something from the past is weighing you down so much, it deters the energy from moving forward and accomplishing, you know, accomplishing that ultimate goal.
And the LA Dodgers did accomplish the ultimate goal. Just 9 months after Bryant's interview, the Dodgers were crowned World Series champions for the first time since 1988. Bryant has been quoted as saying, "The most important thing is to try and inspire people so that they can be great in whatever they want to do." And there's no doubt his legacy will continue to inspire others to be the best they can be for many, many years to come. Sonny, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Meanwhile, Los Angeles Lakers superstar LeBron James had a very happy homecoming Monday night in Cleveland, Ohio. LeBron scored a season-high 46 points to help lead the Lakers to a 115-108 victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's being described as maybe LeBron's most impressive performance since joining the Lakers in 2018. LeBron also added 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks, and 2 steals for the defending champion Lakers, who have the NBA's best record, 14 wins and 4 losses. It was LeBron's first game in his home state of Ohio in more than 2 years. Talking about his performance, LeBron said, and I quote, "It was home cooking." LeBron got a pregame meal from his mother, Gloria. In more NBA action Monday night, the Brooklyn Nets pulled away in the fourth quarter to beat the Miami Heat. The AP's Mike Mancuso reports.
The Nets exploded down the stretch and beat the Heat 98-85. Strong defense keyed the Brooklyn rally in the fourth quarter as they held Miami scoreless on 10 consecutive possessions. That sparked a 15-0 run as the Nets were able to beat the Heat twice in 3 days. James Harden scored 10 of his 20 points in the fourth quarter and talked about his strong finish.
They went man a few possessions, and you know, I got loose a little bit. So, you know, my teammates, you know, give me confidence to shoot the basketball, be aggressive. You know, that's it.
The Heat playing shorthanded as Jimmy Butler and Avery Bradley remain in COVID protocol, shot only 36%. They were paced by Bam Adebayo, who had 26 points and 10 rebounds. I'm Mike Mancuso.
Thanks, Mike. Now let's go to Dallas, Texas, where the Denver Nuggets edged the host Dallas Mavericks by 4 points. The AP's Bob Stevens reports.
The Denver Nuggets won their 4th straight as they defeated the Dallas Mavericks 117-113. So the Nuggets improved to 10-7, while the Mavs dropped their 2nd straight. They're now 8-9. Nuggets trailed 106-104 with about 4 minutes to go, but rallied with a 10-1 run highlighted by Michael Porter Jr. to get the win. Porter Jr. had 30 points to lead Denver, including 11 in the 4th. Nikola Jokic had 20 points, 10 boards, while Luka Doncic had his 6th triple-double of the season for the Mavericks, 35 points, 11 rebounds, 16 assists.
We've been good in the last couple of games with the clutch situation, but today we were good.
Bob Stevens, Dallas.
And that wraps up the January 26th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. Prince Nesta will be hosting. hosting the program on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and I'll be back on February 1st. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.